So for our next presentation, we have Elliot Sklar and Christy Messer, who are going to be speaking about health disparities in primary care and the attitudes of medical students. They're both from the Nova Southeastern University College of Medicine. And as you're speaking, I'm also going to pass around a notepad. If you're interested in getting on the email list for the Homelessness Caucus, it would be great if you can sign up. Very few emails go out on this, so you won't be inundated, and it would be great. We've got a lot of things in store for next year.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here today. My name is Christy Messer. I'm going to be presenting on Project HOPE, and I'm joined here today by my colleague and friend, Dr. Elliot Sklar, who's the project director for Project HOPE. And we have Deborah Cohen here in the audience with us, who's our evaluator on staff for Project HOPE. So this was a great segue, so I appreciate all the good work that you're doing in LA. And you know, it's always a pleasure to talk about Project HOPE. It's been a journey and one that we have really enjoyed and have made many successes. We have no relationships to disclose. In 2010, we were the proud recipients of a five-year HRSA grant from the Health Resources and Services Administration through the Department of Health and Human Services, and it was a pre-doctoral primary care grant with the intent of developing and implementing a medical school curriculum specific to populations who are homeless. And this initiative, which again we call Project HOPE, was really in response to trying to address the curricular deficit that we have found across the nation in both allopathic and osteopathic medical institutions with regard to really educating our healthcare practitioners of tomorrow about some of the unique aspects of serving those who are homeless. And one thing that's really, you know, come to light for us over the past 3 years is that the skill set that that we'll talk about through the presentation today is one that's really generalizable to a number of different vulnerable population groups. So as we talk about the curriculum as it is at Nova Southeastern University with Project HOPE, you know, I just want you to be mindful and think about how you might be able to replicate pieces of it in your own institutions and how it can be generalizable to really serve a number of different population focus. We have a number of project goals for Project HOPE. You know, again, I think the one that really was the impetus initially was to develop this medical school curriculum, really trying to address the paucity of information that was out there and very specific for medical students. This was a pre-doctoral care grant from HRSA, as I mentioned. So for us in our particular institution, we have a College of Osteopathic Medicine, we needed to implement in our medical school. Elliot and I would love to expand it to include all the colleges in our health professions division, but under our current funding scope, it is specific to medical students at this time. But again, be open-minded in terms of how you might be able to implement it in your own institutions. Our second goal was really to address the attitudes regarding the attitudes that individuals have with regard to treating individuals who, you know, may experience some instability of housing. You know, we know as practitioners and people who work with, you know, individuals who are vulnerable that patient-provider relationship is really key. And individuals who are homeless really struggle with issues of trust. And if they ever perceive, you know, that there's some biases or judgment being imposed, the likelihood that we're actually going to be successful getting them into care is greatly diminished. So this was something that was, you know, upfront one of our major goals was through exposure, you know, not only didactically in education, but also through exposure in community service and practicum exposure, are we able to address the attitudes. We also wanted to expand actual experiences of our students in underserved population groups where they actually have the opportunity to serve individuals who are homeless. And so as part of our regular curriculum, we place our students in rural/underserved settings, but not those that were necessarily homeless-specific. So what we tried to do was increase the number of homeless-specific placement sites for them so that they would actually have that experience of providing care to that population group. And then lastly, since we are a federally funded grant, our curriculum is free to share, and we love to do that. We've started to share it with a number of different academic institutions across the country. And so, you know, that was really important to us. We wanted to create a template that we could, you know, share to anyone who was willing to take a look at it. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the curriculum because we really wanted to get into some of our data, but we're happy to share it with you, and we have our business cards with us. But our curriculum is quite varied, and it's much more robust than we initially thought it was going to be. So we're up to 27 required curricular hours for all of our medical students. And anyone who's tried to work with changing medical school curriculum will understand and appreciate that that's a major accomplishment. So we're very proud of that. And it's really become something that's very well respected, you know, across our health professions division. And we expect that it will continue to grow. So in general, the kinds of things that we require is that we have a didactic, you know, component that's kind of an integrated didactic session between the Center for Psychological Services and Medicine, because we know that the integrated approach to serving and treating individuals who experience homelessness is really key. So we deliver this, you know, one-hour didactic lecture with those two disciplines in mind. We also then bring in a number of individuals who are homeless from our community, and we divide up our medical school class, which we have about 250 each year, into small groups and allow two individuals who are homeless to meet in small group sessions with our medical students. And, you know, it's one of my favorite days of the entire academic year because you actually see some small transformation take place over the course of those couple hours. And, you know, initially medical students are a bit disgruntled as to why they have to be there and what are they going to learn from talking to these people who are homeless and lots of arms crossed and pouty faces. But it's amazing to see over the course of those couple hours, you know, what happens. And suddenly they're asking questions, they're inquisitive, and they're genuinely interested in understanding what was your story, you know. So despite what some say, no one really wants to be homeless, and you don't choose to live on the street. And so something happened, and it was great to see medical students really trying to ask those very sensitive questions in meaningful ways that would help them understand the population. We also have a required community service. Now, for those individuals who aren't quite sure about, you know, providing direct service to the population group, we don't want to force it. We say, that's great. You can do it indirectly. We have a donation drives you can participate in, and you can simply drop off the box. So we have them participate in ways that are comfortable to them. We also have specialized patient exams. We have, you know, all kinds of case presentations. We have made all those homeless specific, which again is just another way to help medical students understand some of the etiology that our patients present with. And then, of course, we have a number of web-based modules that we have available specific to patient safety, minimizing error, internal medicine, things of that nature. And then lastly, and this was the part that has been really exciting, and it happens in the fourth year, and we help to facilitate a practicum placement in a facility that serves the homeless. Now, what we found is that we couldn't do it necessarily in facilities that exclusively serve the homeless, but we did find that, and Elliot will talk more about this, but we did find that there was a high number of individuals who were presenting as homeless across all of our patient sites. So to the extent possible, we've really been trying to augment the number of placement sites for students specific to the homeless, including, you know, really going to bat with trying to place students throughout the entire country during their one-month practicum placement where they get to choose where they'd like to serve that time. So I'm very excited about maybe talking to you about your site. So it's wonderful to be able to work with the National Council for the homeless and working in partnership with them to identify different placement sites. So, you know, why is it important to deliver this kind of curriculum, you know, to medical students? You know, we know that there's a high burnout in this field. We know that there's a paucity of primary care. We know that medical students often don't choose to specialize in this arena because they don't really know much about it. They never really talked about it in medical school. You know, it's an unfamiliar area, and we have found that there's also a lot of fear that's kind of rooted in why individuals maybe will not choose to specialize in this population. So essentially, if there's no exposure, there's not going to be a whole lot of interest. And then certainly, there's not going to be an ability to really work on that very specialized skill set. All throughout our development and implementation of the curriculum, we've always taken an integrated approach. Elliot and I and members of our team have done focus groups throughout the United States, really trying to bring those key stakeholders into the picture. We can't profess to be homeless experts, so we really needed to bring in the people who have walked that path, you know, have treated individuals who are homeless for, you know, their lifetime, and really hear from them with our curriculum. We participate on advisory board. We have individuals who are homeless participate in our advisory board. Elliot sits on a housing board. We attend the local community advisory board meetings. We, you know, involve our students and so forth and so on. So it's an evolving process. And one thing that, you know, there's been so many aha moments in the last 3 years, but one that became very apparent was that individuals don't always self-identify as being homeless, and that it was very important to ask the right questions. And you kind of alluded to, you know, some of those questions that you might ask, and that we use the federal definition of homelessness, which is much broader. So we found that it was really important to train our medical students to ask the right questions in a way that is respectful, but also getting at the information that we need to know. So language is certainly important. And all of this helps to broaden the awareness, not only of our students, but for the preceptors, for the facilities, in really having a heightened and broader definition of this population. So Elliot's going to talk more about all of our tracking of data.
So in recognizing that individuals experience homelessness don't only present at Healthcare for the Homeless facilities, we implemented a tracking system whereby our students track the housing status by self-report of all patients with whom they interact in all rotations other than correctional medicine, because those patients are housed. So this required the buy-in and support of all of our different department chairs, but ultimately we have a log and students ask tailored questions. How did you sleep last night? Where did you sleep? Questions that are not directly asking, are you homeless? We conducted a pilot study from our logs and found that from over 2,200 logs completed by self-report, students reported 6.9% encounter rate with individuals experiencing instability of housing, or 11 individuals across their rotations. That number is not as important as the fact that we are sensitizing our students to be aware that if you are working with an individual who does not have the ability to get respite, you have to factor that into your care plan that you provide. And so we're correlating housing with experience, attitude, and these logs went live in 2012 and continue now through all of our rotations. We address attitudes as part of the curriculum because, as Christy mentioned, if you're a patient and you feel that the provider is not being fair or has some bias, that will compromise the care that you're able to provide. We are an osteopathic medical school, and osteopathic principles believe in mind, body, and spirit. And it's very important to respect that of the patient with whom you're working. So we have pre and post survey the students in their first year of medical school as soon as they come in, at the end of their second year, before they go out in their clinical rotations, and again at the end of their studies at the time of graduation. We took Dr. Buck's health profession attitudes toward the homeless inventory and modified it to also include experience, because we understand that attitudes are shaped by experiences. We worked with Dr. Buck, who was very gracious in helping to guide us through the process, and made an addendum in four different areas of awareness, personal experience, volunteer experience, and direct care experience. We have completed our analysis of our first set of data, and it's important to note that the graduating students who completed the post-survey only received the curriculum for the last 2 years, because we were funded in 2010, we're now 2013. And so they received about one half of the 27-hour curricula. They also did not have that first-year didactic exposure where they interacted with individuals experiencing homelessness, and that's important. So we're not comparing our two cohorts. We're just looking at trends at this point that we see in our data. We discovered that 81% of our medical students believe that homelessness is a major problem in our society, while 75% of the first-year class seems to hold that perception. What was also interesting was that a small percentage of students believed that homeless people choose to be homeless, and that was 11% of our graduating student class, but only 6% of our first year. And in terms of whether healthcare dollars should be directed towards serving the poor and homeless, the belief is held by 53% of graduating students as compared to the other set of students, the first year's 45%. And current student perceptions correlate with improved quality of healthcare to underserved populations, with 84% of first-year medical students and 87% of graduating students agreeing that individuals experiencing homelessness have the right to basic healthcare. We also see some trends with regards to our experience. According to 41% of our graduating students, they have provided direct care to those experiencing homelessness through health fairs, social service activities, etc., while only 20% of the first-year students had the similar type of experience. So we're definitely seeing that the curriculum is engaging students with this population. And students and faculty have reported their surprise when we report back to all of our faculty the percentage, or prevalence rather, of individuals experiencing homelessness that our students interact with in terms of the patients. As I mentioned, it was about 6.9%, and that's compelling. So that, in addition to our attitude data, shapes our future curricula and the directions that we take with regard to the curricula. And the data is meaningful for preceptors and for clinics to better understand their patient populations. We have gone back to some clinics who were not tracking for housing and reported back to them that through our students' self-report and intake with patients, they're seeing roughly 7% of your population experiences homelessness. And we're starting to see some changes with regards to our clinical partners and what they're trying to do to improve upon their clinical care. A student who worked with me at Camilla's Health Concern in Miami and who graduated last year left this comment, and we thought it was so important as it relates to attitudes. My personal takeaway from the rotation was not just about a catalog of data or facts, but also about the hope that my restored sense of humanism and social responsibility will be more durable and intrinsic in the future. And I think that nicely sums up what it is that we're trying to do and what we're trying to achieve with the project. And with that, I thank you all so much.